All right. So what we're doing here is we have this complete word study New Testament. There is the complete word study New Testament, which we'll go through in a little bit. There's a complete word study dictionary, like this, equally as bulky a book, right? And so between the two, you can look up word definitions specific to the context, and more than just like a one-word, you know, definition, but actually some detail, without having to know Greek. And so that's one of the reasons why we'll be, you know, using Galatians 2:19 through 21 as a practice. And we have there's also available the same kind of thing for the Old Testament. Okay. So in other words, you can look up things in the Old Testament, and then there's a dictionary that goes along with it. So you have Old Testament, New Testament. So by the time you're done, you got a stack about like this, right? Or the same thing is available from Olive Tree Software, all four of them, as an app for your phone, or you can use it on a tablet, or you can use it on a computer, right? So So that's another, you know,
and
option that's available.
Olive Tree?
Mm-hmm. Olive Tree is the...
And it's free?
It's not free.
It's not free.
It's not free, but whereas these books run about $30 a piece, the program for all four of the books, Old Testament, New Testament, dictionary, and everything is $50.
Wow. Bert, can I have a copy of the book, or did you run out?
Which one?
I want both of them, but whichever.
He doesn't have enough for today.
Can I look at it?
Yeah.
No. I can't wait to get the books in now.
Yeah, it's okay, great. So it's great to have it. Now, what I want to do is initially I want to walk through, you know, what this book contains. Okay. So what it has is the New Testament, the entire New Testament, and there is a grammar code behind the words, and then there is a Strong's number. The grammar code, I gave you a sheet last time, and there's also with the book this, which is the same thing, right?
This is alphabetic. Oh, I see.
All right. So this complete word study New Testament has the New Testament, and then you have a grammar code that matches up to this for the handout that I gave you last week. Okay? And so every word has a grammar code behind it, and which is some combination of letters, and it has a Strong's number. This guy named Strong, what he did is he went through and listed all the words in the New Testament alphabetically according to the Greek alphabet, right? But you don't have to know Greek. It's just that way you've got a number that goes along with each word. Okay? A number that goes along with each word. So then, once I find the word, the Strong's number here in this book, then I can look that up then in the dictionary by the number. Okay? I can look it up in the dictionary by the number. So, let's take a for instance here in this Galatians 2:19 and 21, and so I will read that. And you know what? Oh yeah, Bill set up a little bit. All right. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Okay, so we have right below that the same passage. It's Complete Word Study New Testament, Galatians 2:19 through 21. And so we have the King James English. And then what do you see right above, in verse 19, what do you see right above 4?
1063.
Right, so that's 1063. So how would you then find out the meaning of that word to look it up in the dictionary?
Well,
Remember that number 1063.
You'd look up number 1063.
You'd flip through it, and it's sequential, right?
Okay, it's numerically sequential.
It's numerically sequential, okay? And so you just look up 1063 in the dictionary, and there's the fuller definition.
Hey, Bruno.
Right? Yes.
I think, I'm not sure if people understood. This book is the New Testament that has all the numbers in it.
Yes.
It's kind of like an interlinear, but not exactly. And then that orange-covered book, that's the dictionary that has all the words numerically. Okay?
Right.
So
you can look up specific for each passage the definition for every single word. Now, in some cases, it's kind of a no-brainer. But there are some words that have particular significance and meaning, and some grammar information that's also helpful. All right, so now, looking through this complete word study dictionary, there is, partway back here, this gives you the description of what the different parts of speech are, right? So you're saying, well, that's an aorist. What is that, right? This is a present tense. What is that? So you can look up the different grammar parts right in the complete word study of New Testament itself. So this first part is the New Testament with all these grammar and Strong's codes.
Yeah.
And then, as just towards the about two-thirds of the way through, is all the grammatical notations. Okay? And it'll explain anything that you said, well, I don't know what that is. Okay? And so it has an aorist imperative, aorist indicative, all those, you know, big words. But just you know, and don't let it blow your circuits. Just one step at a time. Okay? One step at a time. Is you? I don't know what that is. Okay, I'll look it up. So it's there to look up and get the grammar information. You don't need to know Greek, right? And you can look it up at each one. And right, and then right behind that, there is a brief dictionary. Okay, they have a brief dictionary built right into this complete word study New Testament. So in other words, the complete one is here, right? The complete one is here. This is kind of trimmed back. So if you, let's say you looked here and you said, well, no, that's not enough explanation, or the word isn't even listed, then I'd go to the dictionary. So you could just start by going here and seeing if you have the word right here in this book.
Can I borrow that book right there?
Which one?
Not the orange one, the other one. The one you're talking about. Can I borrow that one just so I could look at it?
No, that's not it.
What are you looking at?
This one.
Oh.
She's got it.
Never mind.
She's got it.
I don't assimilate things unless I can see them, so.
Yeah.
So I'm having trouble. It's fine. Just go here. I'll figure it out when I get the book. It's okay.
Well, I tell you what.
Sure. Yeah.
Let's do it this way.
You can look at this one.
Yeah. By the way, I can read upside down.
Oh. Okay.
So at any rate, here is a partial dictionary built right into the back of the complete word study New Testament. Okay? So you can look things up there, but if you find that it's, you know, not extensive enough because it's kind of trimmed back, or it doesn't have the word you're trying to look up, then you go to the big one. Alright? So let's do a practice for through the law. Okay, and what's the Strong's number for law? 3551. Okay, so you could try looking it up in the back of the Complete Word Study New Testament, and you could try that.
Okay. With these numbers back here, what's in the front of this?
Right.
No, this is this.
That's the
okay. See what
okay.
I mean? If I don't see it, I don't remember.
Yeah. All right. So let's go here and see if it's. Let's first see if it's listed.
It is
listed.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, and what does it tell you in 3551?
is a huge paragraph.
Okay, so there's actually a fair amount. So there's a fair amount of information just right there.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can look things up for a lot of words just right in there, and you don't even need this. But if it's not listed there, then you need to go to here. Okay. So this by itself is a good study tool. You can look things up and get some extensive word definitions. Okay, now, so law is one. Now, let's think about this word that's translated law. It's actually a whole paragraph of definition. Why?
Sorry.
All right. So is law used only one way in the whole New Testament? Mm-mm. Okay. What are some of the ways that the word law is used in the New Testament? What's that?
I'm lost. I'm sorry. I'm just lost.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know where to look for this 3551. There's so many instances.
No, right here.
Okay. Never mind. Yeah, I have the wrong number in my head. Got it. I got it.
Okay.
It's frequently termed the law of Moses.
Yeah. Okay. So that's one you'll find. And so the law of Moses, does it always use of Moses when it refers to it?
No.
No, sometimes it doesn't. And how do you know? How do you know if it is or not?
Context,
okay? You look for other signals that, you know, you're talking about the law, and you look for other signals in it besides just the law of Moses. And what would you look for? What would you look for to tell you that it's the law of Moses being referred to?
Sometimes it would say the law.
The law, and that specifically helps, especially because Greek uses the definite article, the, mm-hmm. right?
And
in a special way.
And the translators will sometimes capitalize it.
Ah, okay. Sometimes the translators will capitalize it because they recognize it's referring to the law of Moses. Did Jesus ever talk about the law?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. Did he say law of Moses every time?
No.
And so typically he'll be talking about law or the law, and it's again, you'll see it in context if he's not, you know, using the set of words law of Moses, right? And all right, so what other use of law is there?
There's a Roman law.
Ah, yes. And as a matter of fact, in Romans, there's Romans, right? Written to those in Rome. In Romans chapter 7, he uses law that way. And what he did, let me explain something. What he did there was he picked something that was actually in common between Roman law and Jewish law. And here's what he did. In Jewish law, was it against the law for either or both the man and the woman to commit adultery? It was illegal for the man or the woman or both to commit adultery, right? In Roman law, only the woman was required to be faithful. The man was not. Okay? So, guess which one Paul picked as his example? He picked the woman. Because, and he says, you who know law, right? And because in both the law of Moses and in Roman law, the woman was required to be faithful. So that's the example that he worked with. Okay? So in that case, law refers not just to the law of Moses, but also to the Roman law. Okay, is law used any other way?
Just as a principle?
Ah, yes. That law sometimes is used, and especially in Romans, say chapter 7, chapter 8, it's used as just a principle, the way things work, or a fundamental truth. The law of sin and death, right? That's not a law like here's the rules. finished. It's the way things work with sin and with death.
Well, like gravity.
Yes, like that. Okay? So the word law is used in different ways, and this dictionary will help you pick out what the right definition is for the context. Okay? Now, let's take a look at one. This is in verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Let's take a look at that word crucified. Okay, what's the Strong's number?
4957.
4957, okay. So you could look it up in here in the dictionary in the back. You could look that up in the dictionary. 4957. Is it in the
yes.
dictionary in the back? Ah, see, so there you've got another one where it's in the dictionary in the back. All right. I've taken a part of that and put that in your handout here. 4957. Okay. Now it has the number 4957, then it has it in Greek, but you don't need to know the Greek, do you? Nope, you don't need to. And it has what's called transliterated Greek. Starao, okay, is transliterated. But you know, while it might be nice to be able to say that, even that isn't necessary, is it? Yeah, not necessary. So, it's together crucified. We are together crucified with Christ. To crucify together, whether bodily or spiritually. Okay. then it says the bodily examples it gives in Matthew 27:44, Mark 15:32, and John 19:32. And what's that talking about? That's Christ being crucified with who? Well, okay, that particular case in Matthew, Mark, and John, that's
the two thieves
right. next to them, okay? That's physically. Spiritually, we have been crucified with Christ, and that's listed here in Romans 6:6 and Galatians 2:20, okay? All right, so it's a crucifixion in Romans 6:6 and Galatians 2:20. It's we have been crucified with Christ. That's the message in those passages, right? Now, do any of you remember being crucified with Christ? Remember what that was like?
Mm-hmm.
And why not?
We weren't yet physically there.
Yeah, in other words, this isn't a memory that we have. Oh yeah, I remember getting crucified with Christ. I was pretty miserable, right? and so we don't see this from experience, right? We understand it from faith. Now, here's the Apostle Paul. Let's ask this question. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Does that mean he's being crucified right now?
No, because...
Saying no.
Because of... It's a
completed
action.
Let's take a look. If you have from last week's handout, or if you have this in the front inside cover, okay, you'll have your codes to the grammatical notations. I just call it grammar codes, right? Now, what is the code, the grammar code above crucified? Okay. The grammar code is P-F-I-P. See that?
Barely.
Yeah. So P-F-I-P is the grammar code. And I look at P-F-I-P. Of course, I put it on your sheet. But it's also listed on the grammar code, either from last week or the one on the inside of the book. So one of those has the grammar code.
P-F-I-P, right here.
Okay, so it's a perfect indicative passive, okay? Now, so perfect tense, this is the completed past action with ongoing results of applying permanence unless the context indicates otherwise, okay? So when it says in the King James, "I am crucified by Christ," with Christ, you might think, "Oh, maybe I wonder if that means that I currently am crucified." But this, in fact, is telling you it's a completed past action. It's already done. Okay, and it is completely done. And by the way, are you going to get uncrucified with Christ?
No.
Not happening, because this is permanent unless the context indicates otherwise.
Yeah.
With a perfect tense. Okay? So you have that. The indicative, it is used for, it's a fact or a question or an opinion about reality. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect tense verb. It means it happened in the past. It's completed. It's done. I'm not... Even though I might read that and wonder if I'm currently being crucified, I am crucified, right? The grammar is telling you it was already done. God already did it. Okay? God already accomplished it. Now, let's ask some questions here. Why does the Apostle Paul say, "I am crucified"? Does that only apply to him and nobody else? And you're shaking your heads no, and why can we say that?
Well, the context is that crucifixion was for the whole world. It's for everybody.
Okay.
And now again, for believers, if you're a believer, then, I mean, the crucifixion gave the opportunity to everybody. To
yeah.
Escape, but you have to be a believer for it to actually take effect.
All right. If we go to the same to the passage in Romans 6:6, okay? In Romans 6:6, there it does talk about us, all of us, right? Why would Paul say just "I am crucified" in Galatians 2:20?
He's using himself as an example.
Some of the advantages of saying that is, one, is he is having an intense focus. Where else does he use "I" a lot? Can you think of where else he talks about himself a lot?
Romans 7.
In Romans chapter 7, he has "I" all the way through there, right? That was a rhetorical way of intensifying the expression. So when he says, "I am crucified with Christ," he's not saying, "I'm crucified with Christ, but not you guys," mm-hmm. Right? He's instead making it intense. There's one other thing, too. If he says, "I am crucified with Christ," he's wanting you to understand that you need to take it personally. Mm. Have you heard the expression, "Don't take it personally"? This is one he wants you to take it personally. Right? Now, the other thing is, it's permanent. Can I get uncrucified with Christ? All right, so that isn't happening. So if... And are unbelievers crucified with Christ?
No.
No. Unbelievers. It's not. So it's only those who believe. So as we go through it, you're crucified with Christ. What else with Christ?
You died with him.
All right, you were crucified. You died with
raised,
him.
Raised.
All right.
And buried
and raised.
Okay.
And ascended and seated. Now, so all five of those things are stated in Scripture that I've been... crucified with Christ and died. I've been buried. I've been raised. I've been ascended. I've been seated. Are any of those ever even threatened to be reversed? Ever hear of anybody getting unseated with Christ? It doesn't happen, does it? And so one of the things this is telling you, especially with the perfect tense implying permanence, and no, never any threat, is, can you lose your salvation? No, you can't be uncrucified with Christ. What verse is that in? Okay? You're not going to be unseated with Christ. That doesn't show up anywhere, right? So, and then passive. Passive, what's the use of the word passive mean? What does that imply?
Action is being done to you.
Ah, yeah. Passive, you're receiving the action, right? Just to use an easy example, Vern hit the ball, okay? That's active, right? The ball hit Vern. That's passive, right? Yeah. Vern hit himself. Okay? This is middle voice, okay? Mm. Where the action comes back on the one taking the action. Okay? So active, I hit the ball. Okay? Passive, the ball hit me. Middle voice, I hit myself. Okay? And all three of those are used in the New Testament. So if I was crucified with Christ and I didn't do it, God did it, right? So can I try to get crucified? Can anybody try to get crucified with Christ? No. And nobody gets up in front of the front of Holly Hills and says, you guys really need to try really hard to get crucified with Christ. Like, we don't do that, right? Why? Because God is the one who has to do it, right? So there's the value in seeing the passive. Does anybody save themselves? Right? So that whether something is active or passive or middle voice really matters. Okay? And it makes a big difference. All right, so that would be one. Let's take a look at page 2. All right, so we've got 5547 is the Strong's number there. You find that on the front page there. I am crucified with Christ. Christ is 5547. All right, so 5547, it gives the Strong's number. And a question is 5547 in the dictionary in the back of your...
I would guess yes.
Yeah, probably so. I've put it here so it'll be easy for all of us to see and to read.
Okay? Pages.
All right. And in fact, yeah, several pages when you look it up. So there's lots of detail. You don't have to be just satisfied with a little simple one or two or three word explanation. You can look at it in context to see what it means. And notice here... I'll just read the initial definition. Anointed, that's the meaning of Christos. That's the meaning of Messiah, HaMashiach, okay, in the Hebrew. A term used in the Old Testament applied to everyone anointed with the holy oil, primarily in the priesthood. And there are three roles, prophets, priests, and kings were the ones who were anointed. Okay? Prophets, priests, and kings were anointed. If you were qualified as a priest, you couldn't go carrying out your duties unless you were what first? Anointed, right? Anointed. Jesus, is he a prophet?
Yes.
Yes. And is he a priest?
Yes.
Is he a high priest? Okay. And is he a king? Yeah. So he qualifies for anointing for all three offices, right? So that's why he is the anointed one. Okay? Yeah?
It's probably a sidetrack. So if we see anointed, that's probably the word Christos?
Yeah. Yep.
But it's used as a verb, not a noun. Mm-hmm. Okay. Whereas when we talk about...
It'll be a form of that word.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no one has ever expressed that before.
Yeah. 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 And that's just, you know, start to put this together. Ah, okay. Now I see the connection, right? And then notice too that what I have in here, it starts with a Roman numeral 2. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And so that means I've skipped Roman numeral 1, right? And so I've shortened it down here, but you'll find lots of detail and explanation that you can look up and you can study it and find the right context. And what we see here is it's used as a proper noun, Christ, okay, and used in an absolute sense, chiefly in the epistles referring to the Messiah. I have been crucified with Messiah. Okay. And you'll find...
Does that translate into a positional truth? He's anointed, so I'm anointed.
He is anointed as prophet, priest, and king. Am I a prophet, priest, and king?
No.
No. And so those particular things are specific to him. Okay? I am not the Messiah. Right? I'm not the Messiah. So that's a specific role. But I have been crucified with him. Okay? Yes?
What that says is also a name applied to others acting as redeemers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So how do you act as a redeemer?
Would that be like the kinsman redeemer? Like
yes.
Boaz?
Yeah, oh. And Boaz acts as the kinsman redeemer, okay, in the case of Ruth. So there's that. There are other people that are redeemers in other senses, like a military sense.
Okay. Would that have been used for someone who bought someone off the slave block?
Yep.
Okay.
And they could be called Christ?
Isn't that amazing?
Is that what you can conclude from that? That they could be called the
could
Christ?
Be, yeah, yeah.
Not the Christ, but
yes.
The Christ.
Yeah, and that's a distinction to make. There are people who are apostles with a lowercase a. Right? Because what is an apostle?
A messenger.
A special messenger, okay? And so someone can be sent on a particular mission without being an appointed apostle, one appointed by Christ, right, and having the office. So that's something to look for. Sometimes we have, you know, uppercase and lowercase applications. All right, so Galatians 2:20, you'll notice, is listed there as one of the references for that definition. That's the reason why I selected that particular one in the name of Christ. Now let's take a look at another one here. let's see, 21:8. Okay. So then I have, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ. It's the same word for Christ. You know, it's 55:47, Christ. Mm-hmm. Christ liveth in me. Now I wonder what that means by the word live. Okay? What does live mean? So, I look at 2198 there. And in the sense of I exist in an absolute sense and without end, now and forever, to live forever as human beings. Let's see. All right, and then at the bottom of that means to be devoted to him, to live conformably to the will, purpose, precepts, and example of God by faith, means full of faith unto the power of faith, Galatians 2:20. I live by faith. Okay, is it possible for me as a believer to have spiritual death?
Not spiritual death. But we can be separated.
Okay, let's talk about in my position as a believer, can I be dead positionally as a believer?
No.
Can't happen, right? Because I have been made alive, okay? And I was made alive when I was identified with him in his resurrection, right? Can I walk out of fellowship with the Lord? Yes, I could. And that is called, in the New Testament, that's called death. Right? And the sin nature pays a death wage. That's what the wages of sin is. The wages of the sin nature pays is death. Right? So, but here he says, I live, and I live how? I live by my own best efforts. I live because I really, really try hard. I live because I eat every day. I live by faith. Okay, so it's faith, and so that's one of the things he starts off with. I've been crucified with Christ, and what happens when you get crucified?
You die.
You die, right? And then how is it that I live by faith? If I've been crucified.
Wait. I don't understand what you're
saying. Yeah. In other words, I was crucified with Christ. Did it stop there?
No.
You were also raised with him.
I was buried and then I was raised with him, and therefore, now, do I remember being crucified with Christ? Do I remember being buried with him and there in the tomb? No. Do I remember being resurrected with him? Don't remember any of that. How do I know that's true?
The Bible tells me so.
By faith, right? I live by faith in the Son of God. I believe what God has revealed. It's not because I remember going through it. Right? I live by faith in the Son of God and who he is and what he did. Right? And who he is and what he did. So I live by faith in the Son of God. All right, now. So let's look up right up above now. We have the number 3568, right? In the life which I now live. Okay, number 3568. So I can look there now. Okay. Now at the actual present time I live. Okay, so I was crucified with Christ and buried and raised, right? And right now at the present time, I live by faith. So let's ask this question. Can I live by faith now for 5 minutes from now? Can I say, okay, I'm going to believe the Lord now and but not 5 minutes because I'm gonna coast. It doesn't work that way.
Moment by moment.
Ah, yes. So I can't store it up. I can't store up the faith, right? I can't just say, well, I'm going to do it now, and then that's going to last a while. Right? It's every single moment living by faith. Right? Every single moment. I can't coast on it, you know. I can't say, well, you know, last year I grew a lot. That's good enough. You know, I grew a lot spiritually and learned a lot, and I think I'll just coast in 2016.
No, do it.
Yeah. So every single moment of living is by faith right now. It's a constant thing. And that's an important thing to get. A lot of times Christians will have habits of, well, you know, I go to church, you know, once a week, and you know, I kind of have to keep coasting between times. Is it all about going to church? No, I live by faith in Vern Peterman. No. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Right?
The scary thing is, like, if you're a mom and you have little kids, you can have your devotions, and then you can go out to meet the day, and in the next now, you can lose it all because you got a kid that's on fit or painting the walls or whatever. Yeah. Scary thought.
Now, how about this let's see, 45, 61. Okay, I live in the flesh. Does that mean, now wait a minute, the life which I now live in the flesh? Oh no, I'm living in the flesh. Now, how many different ways is flesh used in the New Testament?
Three.
Yes, in several different ways. Mm-hmm. Okay, but what are some you can think of?
This body of flesh.
Okay, just this human body of flesh. Is that what he means here? Does he mean just right now I live by faith, you know? I live in the flesh?
Yes.
And it means that here, see? Mm-hmm. This is the definition. So 45:61, and it specifically listed Galatians 2:20. See that? Okay. So metonymically, meaning flesh as used in the body, the corpus, the material nature is distinguished from the spiritual and intangible. Okay? So it's the use of sarx is far more frequent in the New Testament than classical writers. It specifically means the mortal body in distinction from our future and spiritual existence. So while I'm walking around in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God. So this isn't a bad flesh. This isn't, oh boy, I've got to walk in the flesh, right? What are some other uses of flesh, the word flesh? When I say, pardon?
Flesh could be considered a lifestyle.
A lifestyle, okay, all right.
In the flesh.
And it can also be, let's say that you know, Noah's flood, all flesh died. So it can be used for the whole human, you know, population, even all the animals and everything else. It can be used for meat, just meat, right? So there's different uses of that word flesh. We picked out, because it actually lists Galatians 2:20, that definition there.
Are each of those points that you just described different numbers? Okay.
They're not different numbers, but you'll see them under different Roman numerals.
Under that one, flesh.
Right?
Okay.
So different, and you notice I started with Roman numeral 2. I cut out number 1 there, and there are other definitions. So you actually have a very lengthy definition, but you got to find out which one it is, okay, in each context, and it will list for you just like this. There's the context for that particular one. Now, how about who loved me and gave himself for me? Let's look at that loved. You see in front of the grammar code, A-R-T. Okay, that means there's a definite article like the one who loved me. Now this is going to be a strange pattern, but it's something to look for, and that is sometimes the translations will drop out the definite article, and sometimes it will put one in. So let's look at for example, on page 1, it says, "For through the law, I am dead to the law." Wherever you see an A-N in front of it, it means it doesn't have a definite article. Why do they put one in there? For through the law, and you see right above the law, you see A-N in the grammar code? Right on the front page there. For through the law, and there's A-N in front of that there, okay? That means, okay, big word, anarthrous. All that means is there's no definite article, okay? In English, we have A, indefinite article, and then the, definite article, okay? In Greek, we have the definite article, but no indefinite article. Okay? One of the things I found out in Poland is they don't have any articles at all. So when I referred to a definite article, I had to go into this long explanation of what that was. Because they don't have it. But in here, notice that for through the law, I am dead to the law, the definite articles are not there in the Greek. Yes?
So when it has that A-N there,
uh-huh,
and we look on our grammatical notations,
mm-hmm,
A-N, it says
anarthrous.
Anarthrous.
And the bottom line is big word. Nobody ever uses that word.
But,
right?
But my question is, after you get to that point, how are you going to discover what that word means for us? I mean, you just told us what it means, but where would it say
that? But what I'm telling you is to look for those, because what they'll do is they'll insert a the where there isn't one in the Greek. And they do it for smooth English, that's all. But so in the Greek, let's see how this would look. For I, through law, am dead to law. Okay? That's the way the Greek reads. That I might live unto God. No definite article in front of those. I am crucified with Christ, and... And notice there's A-N in front of that code for Christ, above Christ. So I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. So there's so far, a lack of definite articles. And let's look at this. You remember we were looking at the flesh? Remember that? We were looking at the flesh? Is there a definite article there in the Greek?
I think what he was asking, though, the answer to his question is, it's in the grammatical notations.
Yes.
I don't know his name.
What would have told us that an that means that there's no... what you call
it? I think this is what he was asking about right here. It's right here in this.
Okay. I was looking on
that. So I remember you said that earlier. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, the grammatical notations. Now, if there is no definite article and they put it in, what you can do, because you'll see that, is read that without the definite article. The English is not as smooth often, but it means they're not being specific about this one, right? That's when you have the definite article, that's what that means. They're looking at that specific one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
In the first pair of Galatians, on the top of the page, law is capitalized, but when you have it down here that you're going through, law is not capitalized. Is there a difference between the capitalized law and the...
you're looking at the New American Standard up at the top, right? And then it's not capitalized here.
I see.
The King James, it's because it's English that's centuries apart, right? And so, for example, in the King James, there are a lot of things that are not capitalized that we would, and including even capitalizing he when referring to God or Christ.
Uh-huh. And so it's not capitalized in the King James?
Often not. And it's because in the King James, I mean, English was still developing, we've developed a modern habit of putting capitals in places that they didn't back then.
Like the beginning of a sentence?
At the beginning of a sentence, they would capitalize.
Okay.
But, in between, like say, one that particularly comes to mind is law, whereas the New American Standard will put law in there with a capital L. And it's an English choice, not a, what does the Greek say?
But when it's capitalized, isn't it referring to the law of Moses?
Yes.
But just like he is capitalized when it refers to God.
Right.
So when it's not capitalized, then it's talking about the principle of law or or general?
More generally.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's in the New American Standard.
Yeah. And so let's look at that here. For it says in verse 21, "For I do not frustrate the grace of God." Now, is there a definite article there in the Greek?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like there is.
Okay, and how do I know?
There's a number of it.
Well, it says A-R-T,
yeah.
Not A-N, right?
Oh, okay.
So I see over that, if it's A-R-T, then that tells me there really is a definite article in the Greek. Now, look at the word God. What do you see? "For I do not frustrate the grace of God." What do you see in front of the code?
A-R-T.
In the Greek, it's "I do not frustrate the grace of the God." Okay? "For if righteousness comes by," is it the law or law?
Law.
It comes by law, see?
Hmm.
"Then Christ," and is it the Christ or Christ?
Christ.
Christ, okay? A-N, okay? "Is dead in vain." And this is one of the things you'll see in the King James. It'll say, like, "I am crucified," "is dead." It makes it sound like, well, you wonder if that's present tense or not. And that's where you can look things up in the grammar code, and it's actually, then Christ died is past tense, right? And so you can use this without being an expert in Greek grammar, without even reading Greek, letters, You can use this to look at a passage and discover word definitions. You can check out, do I have a definite article there actually or not?
Can't you, I'm trying to find it in here, because I used an interlinear, but I can't remember. If you're looking to see if the article is there, can't you also look at the interlinear?
You can look at an interlinear, which we have out there.
Well, that's what this is, though, isn't it? Isn't this an interlinear?
Isn't quite an interlinear, because all you have is English and the grammar codes and Strong's.
Okay, so I have an interlinear at home, so if I was reading it, there would be no sign that there was the word the there, if it was fine, right? In the Greek, you can
right.
look through it, right?
Right.
Okay. That helps me a little bit.
Yep. So you can discover whether the Greek actually has the definite article or not.
And in the New American Standard, wouldn't that be in italics because it's not actually there?
Actually, they do use italics, but not for the.
Oh,
italics?
No.
Oh.
Vern?
Yes.
The other thing I'm picking up on here is for that anarthrous.
Right.
It refers in brackets to five, which shows you anarthrous. Then in a lighter print, it has the follow-up word referring to the definite article as a explanation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I see that in a number of examples when you go down the page here.
Yep. And so that's the thing. Just getting used to this, it's a matter of, okay, look up the code, look at the grammar. And I'm able to look up definitions of words, and I'm able to find, like we showed in here, you know, my passage that I'm looking at is listed, right? And find out the specific meaning in each context. And I'm able to look up the grammar codes. And here's one thing. Once you learn something, you'll find lots of, you know, repeated situations where you can use it again and again, right? So, for example, knowing that Christ means the anointed one, right? Just seeing that. Okay, so we're running out of time here. Okay, so next week we'll meet back here. We'll probably need to do... Let's find out. You know, we got certain people that want to have the books and want to use the books and stick with the books, right?
Yeah, me, yeah.
So probably, you know, this sharing thing was just because I was kind of short, but we'll try to get some more books in. In fact, I do have some more coming in today, but that's they were a little delayed on their shipment. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you, as we look at this, we thank you for the tool that this provides for us. And we do just pray as we go along here just to have further and greater insight into your precious word. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.